episode 43, Kieran. How the devil are you?
Morning.
How's life?
Good. Very good, actually, yeah.
Really? Very good? Yeah.
The sun's out, drinking coffee, talking to you. We're back.
Yes. It seems only like 7 days since our last episode, which would have made it last Friday.
That's right, yeah. Keep it to our weekly schedule as usual.
Yes, there's nothing like consistency for a podcast. I hear it's the only way.
That is the one thing everybody says about us.
So how is the world of Nescafe Gold Blend? I hear you're a big man of coffee these days.
Nescafe, yeah. I'm well into my instants these days. It's the future.
So you've moved from instances of servers to coffee. That's a bad link, isn't it? We'll cut that out in the edit.
Terrible. Yeah. No? That's support.
Anyways, I just got to mention just before we kick off that there may be a break in the recording of the show.
Right.
Due to a scheduling error.
Yes. Well, there's been two scheduling errors.
Schedule. I never know anymore. What do we say?
Well, I think we say schedule, don't we? In the UK, but we're morphing with North America.
Yes, because our language is kind of hybrid these days, isn't it?
Hybridized.
Because we're so continental or something. I don't know. Anyways. I'm expecting a delivery. So
yes. Me too.
Yeah, what are you expecting?
I'm expecting a washing machine any minute.
Really?
Well, we're already recording in the window of delivery. This is how on the edge we are.
So who's delivering it?
Should I check?
Well, you know, it's not one of the ones where they just kind of throw it off.
It's Curry's.
Are they the ones that just kind of throw it off the back of the moving van and get upset when you complain that...
No, because they're recycling our old one.
Ooh.
So you're going to have some sort of interaction with them. I was up at 6:40 this morning, lying under a counter, pulling out the old old washing machine.
Did you find anything untoward under there?
No, nothing. Some dog hair, standard.
How did dog hair get under the washing machine?
Well, it's been had. Dog hair permeates everything in a home that has a dog. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it permeates. Yeah, I'm glad you need a dog.
The fridge has dog hair in it.
Oh, do you find it in like your cottage cheese and things like that?
Yeah, everything. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, if we take a break for either your delivery or mine, then
what are you expecting, Keir?
Me?
Yeah.
A delivery.
Does it have an iPad attachment?
Well, no, that's already arrived, and you know that.
Oh, has it?
I can't believe you're going to make me say it.
Well, I don't know what it is, so how would I know?
Okay, it's an exercise bike.
An exercise bike, really?
Yeah, for the kids.
For the kids, yeah, obviously. Yeah, that's why you need the iPad attachment.
Yeah, so they can do doodle maths whilst they're cycling.
Right, did you consider one that you've got a normal bike, right?
Yes.
Because you're a mammal. Middle-aged man in Lycra, for those who aren't down with the lingo.
I do have some kind of cycling shorts that have a padded.
Oh dear, I don't need to know. So,
area.
Did you consider one of those like roller things?
I did, but it's all about space. Space is at a premium, Kieran. We don't have the,
So you thought you'd double the space?
We don't have the landmass that you have in Cheltenham.
Right, okay.
We don't have, like, you know, a wraparound garden, for example.
Well, easy. It's not a wraparound. Well, I suppose it is wraparound.
Yeah, there's no escaping it.
Three sides.
Well.
Not four. So it's not officially... I'm not wrapped in garden. Hmm. But anyway.
Anyway, yeah, so that's my delivery. For the kids, you understand.
Right, yeah.
But anyways, episode 44.
Yes.
What have you been up to? Anything exciting? You've been building stores. And
this Shopify thing I've been trying to get my head around, which has been interesting.
Yeah, I've been tech support for the last 19
really.
Well, what do you mean not really?
We've got Gavin Ballard on board. You've hardly been tech support. Let's not,
Sir Gavin Ballard.
Sir Gavin Ballard of Shopify.
Well, not yet.
Well,
hoping one day he won't have
let's
it.
Let's not go there. Mm. Mm. Shopify expert Gavin Ballard has been doing all the heavy lifting, and Jake's been doing all the front end.
So what have you been doing? Just lording over it.
I've just been sort of swanning in and out and saying, can you move that 3 pixels to the left, please?
Yes, swanning in and out of Slack, dictating from afar.
Yeah,
and then saying sorry, BRB, baby duties, something like that.
Yeah,
how's the little one? I heard he climbed into the dishwasher.
Yes, well, kind of the dishwasher door. Oh. That was a highlight. He tried to lick the little compartment that you put the... Yeah,
ooh.
So we thought rinse aid and babies probably don't mix, and so we grabbed him. Yeah, he's good. He's climbing everything.
What is he? He must be like 3 now or something.
No, 7 or 8 months now. Eight months. God. Yeah.
He's a...
Fast, don't they?
They do, month by month, so I'm told. But... yeah, so this is the coffee store. You're selling the Nescafe online, right?
Yes, we want Nescafe. Easy.
Easy.
Be careful of trademarks here. Yes, we are selling specialty coffee in Nespresso compatible capsules and obviously beans. Well, not obviously, but you know we are
beans.
Yeah, beans.
So you've been getting knee deep into roasting.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Every area of a roastery and direct to consumer and wholesale sales with the Shopify.
Well, yeah, not that you're plugging
it. They're not sponsoring this podcast.
They're not. Right? They're not.
But, you know, they're not. They come up often enough.
The so many, many years ago when I worked in the washing powder trade, as in I stacked the shelves for 6 months.
Is that when you weren't carpet fitting?
No, this was pre-carpet fitting. This was, this was when Morrison's, I worked at, which is a rather spectacular UK supermarket chain with the jingle that went, "More reasons to shop at Morrison's." I got put on the...
Is this 1978?
82. So yeah, I got put on the washing powders and liquids. And there's one of those things that you think, this smells quite nice. It's...
They must have thought you had potential to put you on the washing powder.
It was. But then after a while, you know, that nice smell of fresh washing, you just kind of got sick of it. You just wanted some grime in your life. And so, I mean, have you got that with the coffee smell yet?
No, not really. I still go to the roastery and think, my God, this is amazing.
Really?
But I don't spend much of my time there, you see. So it's like a little treat.
Have you got a chair with your name on it there or anything like that? Have you got a desk?
No, I just sit on sacks of beans. That isn't even...
Is that true? I'd love that. You've got to get a photo of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so for the next episode, I'll have a photo for the
hero.
You
promise.
I promise. Yeah.
Talking of desks, the Dark Lord of the IO domain has moved to Bath. Did you hear this?
I'm aware that Neil has entered Bath.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kinish is in Bath, and he's acquired some office space.
God. He moves fast, doesn't he?
He's out of the garage or the garage for our Northern American listeners. Yeah,
not our northern listeners.
Yeah, our northern listeners. No, I'm not even going to attempt that.
No, don't do that.
No,
yeah.
No, I already upset someone.
Like racism.
I already upset someone.
Sure not.
No, it's true because I said Harry Roberts was my joint favourite professional Yorkshireman.
Well, who did you upset?
Well, the other three Yorkshire people I know.
Ryan Taylor.
Ryan Taylor. Yeah, he was. He felt unloved, so
I
don't know. I've got to send him something. I don't know.
Yeah, you're
maybe an Eccles cake or something. No, maybe not. That's Cheshire. All over the shop. A Betty's Fat Rascal. That'll do it.
Yeah.
And if you've never tasted one of those, you can follow me on Instagram to see a picture of one. True story. But Kanish is in the house, as it were. We've been meeting up.
So is he hanging around, but like a bad smell, or is he all right?
He's not making too much of a nuisance of himself, to be honest. There were promises of free lunches and, you know, regular coffees and catches.
He always says he's going to buy me breakfast. Yeah, but never.
No, but whenever he tells me, he always tells me I'm buying him breakfast. Or that it's your turn.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's all a bit strange. But, he's in the house. He's got a big office all to himself. Apparently, he's getting a little
lonely. This episode's going to be amazing for the four people that know everyone we're talking about.
Oh, well, in which case, we should mention Richard Wiggins.
We should.
Oh, the real Wiggo. Caught up with him yesterday at Generate Conf. Well, that's linking it back. That's a web reference.
Look at that. There's some web in there.
Oh, and Coos. Coos was there. He did a talk.
Yeah,
there you go. He did a talk about sheep.
This is the inner circle.
Yeah, he did a talk about sheep. And apparently the
sheep,
you know,
right.
Bah, bah, those kind of sheep. Yeah, right. He the black ones specifically, and how you should be the black sheep. And he did.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see where he's going.
Yeah, and he did. He did a poster giveaway. Classic Coos trick. That
did he?
Classic Coos trick. Yeah.
We had it printed up and everything.
Yeah, everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not many people do that. That's going the extra yard. You see.
No, he is going the extra mile. Yeah.
And that's why he's on the big money.
That's true.
But apparently he does photos as well on Snapchat or something. I don't know.
I've heard he's popular on the Instas.
On the Instas. Oh, talking of which, I learned something yesterday. So, you know, my new colleague, Kat, has joined.
Yes,
joined
the team. Yes. Welcome, Kat.
Yes, welcome.
If you're not to my team, but, you know, just to the Shopify ecosystem
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, all right. We can cut that.
Okay.
So, yeah, she was looking through the gram, and apparently there's this thing called hash goals. Have you heard about this? Not hash, as in not in hash goals. Although it could be, but apparently...
As in hashtag goals.
Yeah, I'm learning all the lingo of the under 30s now.
Right. She's bringing a bit of youth into your life.
So yeah, apparently I'm super lit and dope.
Are you on fleek?
Oh, I think that's a bit old, mate.
Is it?
Do you want me to cut that as well? Because that's a little embarrassing, isn't it?
No, I don't know. That was we had to Google that the other week at Kelowna when someone said that our packaging was on fleek.
Oh, really? What does it mean?
It just means you're on trend. You're hot. You're happening right now.
So what's the derivation of this phrase?
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so apparently with the hash, the hash goals thing. Yeah.
Trousers are on fleek.
Okay. Anyway, the hash goals thing. Apparently, what you can do is like, let's say you see something like. You know, the ultimate in coffee capsule, you see it on the gram, you're scrolling through and there's just like, you have to pause the thumb to bring the scroll back because you can't quite believe what you've seen. You right. might comment hash capsule goals. So I'm told.
Why?
Because it's like, it's the pinnacle. Apparently. Oh. Yeah. So, you know, you might see a picture of a coffee cup on my stream or Yorkshire Fat Rascal or whatever they're called. And you go,
and you'd be like Yorkshire Fat Rascal Girls.
Yeah, hash Yorkshire. Yeah, I think so. Cat can explain. If we had comments on the site, she could.
Which we don't.
But she could tweet us in.
Well, yeah, maybe I need some clarification on this. I'm not quite sure.
I do think it needs to go to a committee to come back with the full.
Does it mean it means that you've achieved the goal,
or the thing in question is like the goal?
Right.
So maybe if you had the, I don't know, let's think you got a...
Or it, what is that? It's your goal.
I'm not...
So if you got an amazing cup of coffee...
It might be...
It's your goal to one day maybe, brew that amazing cup of coffee.
Maybe that's it. So like when maybe you've got, I don't know, a new Pittsburgh Steelers cap, you know, snap back, flat peak, whatever you do these days.
Don't do snap back.
You don't?
No, you don't. Get me started.
Really?
Yeah. No. Oh. No.
I don't know.
I'm not a trucker.
A Harris Tweed... football cap. I don't know.
A bonnet. Yeah.
And I saw that and I aspired to that cap. I might put hashtag cap goals.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it.
I get confusing with capsules and caps and
But so I'm learning all this super lit, dope, fam.
Wow.
It's a whole, you know, whole new level of lexicon.
Well, I'm pleased for you, mate.
Mm, anyway. Oh, by the way, did you know?
Yes.
We've, you should know about this because you're part of it, but, you know, this might be news to you, but we've launched the Back to Front Show Club.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's very...
That's exciting times. It's a bit like the Get Along Gang.
The what?
80s cartoon reference, mate. Don't worry.
I thought that was the Red Hand Gang. Do you remember that?
No. What's that?
Oh, do you remember Sport Billy?
No.
Oh, we're going to have to put that in the show notes as well. He had this amazing bag that he could literally pull anything out of and it would save the day. Like, you go in his sport...
I'm pretty sure the Get Along Gang is a broader reference, a broader church, so to speak.
Who were they? What were they up to?
They were, like, creatures that had roller skates.
Ooh.
Or something. Hang on a second.
Oh, are you Googling it?
Get Along Gang. Ooh. It auto. Oh wow! Yeah, there was a moose and a raccoon.
Oh, this sounds familiar. Did they have a train? Did they?
They had a sort of
with a caboose on the back.
A wagon. Yes. Hang on. Here we go. I'll send it to you. You'll know it.
I'm going to have to look now. I'm going to hear some clickage.
Oh, it's an image. Yeah, I don't know what's on there.
Oh gosh, what's this going to
be? In full control of the technology.
I do remember the Get Along Gang.
Yeah, you see.
Look at them. It's a very diverse lineup as well, which is good.
It is. It's very wholesome, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like today's cartoons.
Yeah, no. It's all like the Lean Green Ninja Team these days.
Exactly, yeah.
They all come back, don't they? Those Ninja Turtles never went away. Now they're back in glorious high definition.
Yeah.
But they've
been sanitized rather, though, I hear.
I don't know. They've shortened the names. It's like they're called Donnie and Mikey.
Because obviously, you know, youth of today couldn't cope with more than one syllable.
And the sensei and Shredder and... anyways.
He's always called sensei.
Was he?
Yeah. Master Splinter. Anyway.
Yeah, so we've launched a club. It's you can join the Back to Front Show Club and support us.
Amazing. Is there a URL to go along with that?
Of course.
Which is?
Oh, you want me to tell you? Sorry. Backtofrontshow.com slash club.
Wow, that's easy.
It is easy. And what you get for joining, it's rather special. You get a beautiful enamel badge.
They are nice, actually.
They are nice.
Got one on my bag.
And sticker.
Well, you know, who doesn't like a sticker?
Who loves a sticker? And a limited edition. There's like 100 in the world.
So basically what happens is there's only 100 friends or whatever it's called, friends of the club.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. So if you go to the club page, you can, part of the deal is that you get your own custom listing on our friends, rogues, devs and feds gallery.
And then maybe we can weave our friends into our conversation, a bit like we always talk about Coos and Kinnish.
And Wigo and HRH and, Wigo. And Lindbergh.
We could let's not name them all.
But I think I've named them all. Oh no.
Anyway.
That's it. But yeah, and basically, I mean, you know, it covers costs, right? But it's a bit of fun. And you know, the bit of merch, and you know, the shrapnel can go towards our exorbitant S3 costs.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, because hosting ain't free anymore.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Apparently not.
Yeah, but
so Amazon tells me every month.
Yeah, you know, a few bucks here and there. All adds up. But yeah, bit of fun.
We're going to talk about tech anytime soon.
Yeah. What did you want to talk about? Oh, I know.
I haven't got anything to talk about apart from that Facebook have been lying about their number of videos that they've been serving.
Really? Why would they do that?
I don't know, because they want to be the video king.
Really? You don't do Facebook. How do you even know about Facebook? You're still on MySpace.
I read it on the Twitters.
Hmm.
Actually, today, talking about Facebook, this is not that interesting at all, but let's run with it. I am a backer of a Kickstarter project that said that put out all their photos and their materials to their backers on Facebook, right?
Ooh.
I clicked on the link. This is only available when you're logged in. Well, I can't log in because I'm not a Facebook user. But the filmmaker was very cool about it. I sent him a message on Twitter. He was like, yeah, cool. Stuck them up on Flickr and stuff. And so I could see them. It's very kind. But I felt a little bit like the old man that needed a bit of help to open the file, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel? I mean, did you feel sad?
No, because I knew that I wasn't on Facebook still.
Mm. Why did you leave Facebook? You were all over it. It was all you ever talked about.
I left Facebook because I never used it, but yeah, they had a lot of information about me.
Ah, you see.
Yeah. Mm,
all that data.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Anyway.
Yeah, what have you been backing on Kickstarter these days? You're all over that place. You're always backing stuff. It's like...
Well, I'm backing Elliot J. Starks.
Oh, you and me both.
I'm backing.
You and me both.
Yeah, we're one of the... how many is it now? Hang on. Stand by.
Dun, dun, dun. If we had sound effects, I could insert a drum roll.
Doesn't tell you anymore. Oh, yeah. 568 backers, which is quite a lot, let's be honest.
It's very respectable.
It's up to 33 grand.
33 large.
And he's only got, what's that? That's about 6.5. He's 33 and a half. He's got 6.5 to go until he meets his goal. Elliot J. Stocks of, well, you know, web fame, your friend of mine, is producing 8 faces collected into a book.
Yeah, it's going to be a beast. Can you imagine?
It is massive. That dummy he's got is huge.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, the dummy book that
the dummy book, yes.
In the video is massive.
I thought we were going down a route we couldn't get out of there.
And I'm not going to give you the URL because, let's face it,
it's Kickstarter.
Kickstarter URLs are a nightmare. So just type in 8 faces collected Kickstarter into your Googles and you'll be all over it.
Yeah, all over it. All over that thing.
But yeah, I backed that. What else have I backed?
Oh, did you back that coffee thing? You know, the thing for the AeroPress?
Yes. He updated recently, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
This is Neil from Bristol who had...
Is that his name? Neil from Bristol.
Yeah, Neil from Bristol. Don't know his surname, obviously. It's the internet. And yeah, he has lovely bit of product design, didn't he?
Dual purpose stand
that allows you to you know, to not have to stick your AeroPress on top of a wobbly cup
or your dripper, you know, your what are those
or your dripper. How my Chemex is a bit, you know, left out in the cold, but
you've got a Chemex. That's all a bit too scientific for me. Do you need a Bunsen burner for that? How does it work?
No, that's a siphon, mate.
Oh, that was meant right, okay. I don't know. Hey?
That was a bit facetious, wasn't it?
What, on your part or mine?
Either. Both. So I backed The Verge, which is a short film.
The Verve? Are they back together?
The Verge. Oh, the Verge.
Isn't that a website? I thought that was a tech website.
That is a tech website as well, but it's also a short film.
By them? Or someone else?
By someone else.
Oh, that's confusing. Yeah, go on. What else?
But I also backed the Dieter Rams documentary.
I donated 10, I was about to say 10 large. Not at all.
Not 10 large.
10 bucks.
$10 to that.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I'm excited to see those. It's by, is it by Huswit?
Yeah, Gary. Yeah. He made Urbanized and Helvetica and everything.
What was the other one he did?
Objectified.
Yes, very good.
Yeah, very, very good. Great filmmaker. Incredible following.
Yeah, huge. He's
almost $100,000 over his goal, isn't he? Hang on, where is it? This is also fascinating, talking about Kickstarter projects. Yeah, he's almost $100,000 over his goal.
So
wanted $200,000, got 279.
So do you think this is interesting in a way? I mean, it's something we talk about a lot. But why do you think more and more people, especially established brands? Elliot, we mentioned, but also like there's, you know, I have a thing for wallets. So I like wallets and bags.
It's
my downfall, especially backpacks.
Yeah, got a whole room of bags, haven't you?
I had to sort of rationalize, you know what it's like. You get the,
you haven't had to pare down,
you get the order, don't you? It's like, do you really need four of these backpacks? Dear. They all look the same. And I'm like, oh, they are not the same. Oh dear. No. Micro wallets.
Talking of wallets and backpacks, sorry.
Oh, yes, go on. We were
and I bought a phone case. I know it's not the same, standby, as from Bellroy. Or rather, my wife bought it for my birthday.
God, she must like you.
What's
she
that?
She must like you.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's quite fond of me in her own way.
And her own special, unique fashion.
And it broke.
Oh.
Okay, so I didn't drop it. I didn't do anything. It became really, really like weak at the corner and broke. You know, so it's like it's split and it's leather and all that stuff. It's really nice. But Bellroy's customer service was absolutely amazing. Katie contacted them and they basically sent us out a new case without any questions asked the next day. And it literally arrived the next day. So if you're looking for a wallet or a case, Bellroy
are beautiful.
Are amazing.
I have, I can actually see it from here. My wallet is a Bellroy. It's one of the sort of pocket ones. It's a bit bulgy now. Really nicely worn in. Also like their travel wallet, which is the one that you can fit your passport in. So I kind of just have that in the drawer with all my travel related stuff and just take it with.
Switch,
really nice. But the reason I was thinking about it was that there's another wallet brand called Jimmy Case, and quite well established, I would think. And you know, they sell online, and
that's the hard case, isn't it?
Jimmy wallet. Yeah.
It's like a,
But they're launching a kind of micro wallet, you know, one of these ones that has kind of elastic, or it can hold 15 cards, but it's got a little sleeve for
I love those. That's why I carry. Yeah.
And I thought, I signed up for more details. It's like, we'll let you know when the Kickstarter launches. So they're already preloading loyal followers, if you like, through Instagram and Twitter and targeted ads and stuff. But then they're going to put it onto Facebook. Kickstarter. So it's made me think, why do established brands, what do you think Kickstarter's changed? Do you think it's changed from this enabler of projects that might not have, you know, the altruism thing we've talked about before, where people to actually, this is now a platform to get my brand bigger, you know, like Meenal, the backpack. I confess I did buy. They had a huge Kickstarter at the time. I think it was the biggest backpack Kickstarter for their version one. And then they went back to the well, if you like, for version two. And it was insane. And there's another one, Nomadic, recently have raised a few million dollars on it. But these are brands that have a following. So where does Kickstarter fit into this kind of marketing sales process now? Because it's clearly those people probably would have had the success without it. Questionable, maybe, but what do you think?
I think there are two tiers of Kickstarter, and you know, there was an argument in the film world a while ago about, you know, people like Zach Braff, for example, of Scrubs fame.
We mentioned him before, didn't we?
Yeah, and he made Garden State. People like him coming to the Kickstarter well, and people saying, this is a disgrace, why is he doing this, he's taking money from other people, because, you know, arguably, as you say, he's got a following, he undoubtedly, given his background, has access to financiers. Why is he coming to Kickstarter for his money? And I guess there's excuse me, there's a certain level of creative autonomy you get, don't you, when you do something on Kickstarter. It becomes that you are just doing it for your fans. So that's probably why people like like Zach do this kind of thing. But I think there are two tiers now of Kickstarter, and there's the people who have a big following already, and they I suspect, I don't know, because I haven't seen the stats, but I suspect that their levels of growth in terms of their audience when they do a Kickstarter spike enormously. Because there's this very much this sort of viral effect of, we need to make this happen, is the urgency factor to it. And I suspect that their audience jumps massively, and that makes them, because it's like Pact, the coffee company who are doing capsules in a similar vein to Kelowna, who we were talking about earlier. Pact, while they're not the same market as Kelowna, are doing capsules with nicer coffee in it than Nespresso do, and they went to Kickstarter for that, despite being an established brand and having a big audience and having a big, you know, subscription base already.
Did they fund on that, or am I miss?
They funded on that. Yeah, right. They did. I think that there's that people probably see exponential growth when they do Kickstarter campaigns in terms of their audience, and those people that come with Kickstarter campaigns tend to be very sort of evangelical about your brand.
Right.
And I've said before on the podcast that people who backed Open Indie back in the day have stuck with me on Twitter and everything, and other people who are most engaged with what I do. And I think that's why brands do it, because they see that there's big value in the engagement factor as well as just making the sale, because that person, you know, like you with the backpacks, maybe you backed the first one, you might now buy two or three more backpacks from that company in your lifetime. So, you know, the LTV is probably much higher for somebody who has been involved in a Kickstarter campaign than someone who has who just bought it off your website. And certainly for filmmakers and people doing creative stuff, that's really important, because, you know, sustainability, each project is a sort of capsule, and you make a film, it's even its own limited company normally, you know, so the film is a capsule and you make this film and then you sort of deposit it out the other side of it. And what you need to do is you need to have something that you can then take to your next film or your next product or whatever you're doing. Right. I see more and more people like Neil from Bristol. I need to know what his name is. It's terrible. I should be actually, you know, who did it's called Origin. That's what it's called.
Yes, yeah, lovely.
Neil McQueen. I should remember that name. Neil McQueen from Bristol, who did the Origin stand for coffee. If you haven't seen it, Google Origin, the ultimate coffee brew stand, and you'll find it.
It's lovely, yes.
It is lovely. And, you know, you see, but I noticed that he's doing more and more projects. So I followed him on Instagram, and now he's looking at doing a stylus for the iPad Pro.
Oh, interesting. How different?
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different world, right? But I imagine that he will take a portion of his audience with him from the Origin to the stylus.
Do you think that it's changed, though, in moved away from being an enabler of a project that may not have happened had it not been for Kickstarter, and more of a, I mean, we were talking about this the other day, and I was like, it feels more like a marketplace now, a pre-ordering marketplace, which you and I understand why I disagree with, but
yes.
can you not think that
I think it's the two-tier thing again. Yeah. It's the people who treat it as a marketplace and a place to grow their audience, and that, you know, who could easily have funded this themselves. You know, I argue with people, well, I don't argue with filmmakers. I have conversations with filmmakers all the time. They don't need to go to, you know, if they believe in their project, they could fund a 10,000. Well, some people could fund a £10,000 short film themselves.
Yeah.
If they wanted to, you know, the banks are not so fiscally conservative that they won't lend someone £10,000 and when you tell them it's for a used car, you know. Mm. So people could do this themselves, but they choose to go to Kickstarter because of all the extra stuff it brings with it. Now, so I guess you're right in a way, like those people could go elsewhere for that money. They also could make that short film or that, you know, that web series or whatever they're making on a smaller budget, I'm sure. But they choose not to because, you know, it gives them certain freedoms and it gives them a bigger audience. So it's slightly different from a marketplace, I think, just because, you know, if you stuck everything on Shopify, for example, and said, you know, come and pre-order this, I don't think you'd have the same energy around the project.
Sure. What about this then? If people, you're backing something because you're feeling altruistic about it, you want this thing to happen, you have the belief that it might not happen without the support, but then you know you realize that project may have enabled that person to double up on production that they then go and sell on those other items for considerable profit, which is fine, right? In principle, I have no problem with that at all. But do you think there's an element of disingenuity, or whatever you say it, around that? Like,
I don't think so. Not if you're honest from the outset that this is a commercial enterprise. Right. I think that there is taboo around that on Kickstarter, isn't there? There are people who go, you know, how dare you make money from this? But the reality is that you and I both know from doing personal projects, you have to live and you have to be able to pay the bills and all those kind of things. And I think I guess there are people who are like, hang on a second, where did that £1 million go? That project failed. And there's certainly, you know, there's a handful of cases of that. And Kickstarter have been particularly good at investigating those, I think.
Right.
You know, they employ independent, you know, tech journalists or journalists, you know, savvy in the field that the particular project that failed is concerns. And they've had them properly investigate it and write an article explaining to the backers what's happened. Often when even the founders of the project have just completely disappeared.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, there are obviously cases where people have exploited it for commercial gain, but generally people aren't, you know, concerned as long as that project's just, you know, as long as it's not delivering. If you get your project at the end of it, no one cares if you're making profit from it, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. How many, I think I've only backed one thing that didn't fund, which was a magazine project, unfortunately. But are you finding now that more things that you back are funded? There are, you know, the goals
not
are achieved?
Not necessarily. I would say it's a lot, the ratio is a lot bigger with me towards things that fail.
You can't pick a winner, Kieran.
Well, probably because the film stuff, you know, it lends itself to, you know, people, it's their first time film or whatever. They've not got much to show. They've not got much proof that they're going to make something. And maybe I'll take a punt on that.
Right.
Maybe because a filmmaker that I trust their opinion or whatever is saying, this friend of mine's making something great, go out and back it. And then I back it. And obviously, you know, they fall short. But yeah, I think that all the non-film projects, I wonder if more film projects fail than anything else or music projects or whatever. But I think the non-film stuff tends to fund, but that's probably because it's sort of broken out of my niche. And I've just discovered something that's very popular.
Right.
You know, how many projects do you back generally?
I'm just looking now, actually. How many have I backed? 17 okay. projects, which isn't huge. And I'm just looking through them. It's quite funny. Yes. So let's have a look. A bag, a documentary, coffee stand. The British Rail Corporate Identity Manual. Been lovingly reprinted. Beautiful piece of work. A backpack, a notebook, a book, a magazine, a book. there is a theme occurring.
Yeah, just like mine, I'm sure. Yeah,
book, magazine, wallet. I think the first one. When was the first one? The first thing I ever backed on here was the manual. Manual issue really? One, back in 2011. So I'm not prolific. I'll be honest, I don't really surf Kickstarter for things to back. I'll often see a tweet or, you know, maybe what you find now, and I think this is the network effect you talked about a little bit, is when you get an email from an update and they do that kind of, again, an altruistic thing, was said, you might also like these interesting projects.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they tend to get my money more than me looking at Kickstarter itself. It's just too dangerous, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're still spending loads of money. I'm just looking at my list. I think the first thing I backed was a film by my Open Indie co-founder, Aaron Crumley, called As the Dust Settles, about Burning Man.
Right, okay, interesting.
That was a long time ago now. I'm just looking at when that was. It was 2009, I imagine.
Yeah, and sadly, the only one that didn't fund was a magazine by Jamie Hibbard. Whenever that was, quite a long time ago. But I think it just fell short by a few hundred pounds, which is a shame. What do you think? Do you think when things fall short, especially with the projects that you back, do you find that they do reappear in another form? That do people? Is there any way that you can make use of that network effect post kind of not funding to actually achieve the goal?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can still contact the people that have tried to back you, and I suppose you could. Set up a second campaign saying, you know, we were only $200 short of a $10,000 goal. Come on, guys, let's do this again or whatever.
What's the thinking on if you're, say, $500 short of a $10,000 goal? Is there any reason why you as the creator wouldn't back it?
Well, you as the backer aren't meant to back the project. I think that was, I mean, obviously I haven't actually done a Kickstarter campaign since Open Indie in 2009, but at least when we did it, the rules were that you as a backer couldn't back it. But Katie and I sort of had an agreement between us that if it was, you know, the very last hour and we're down to minutes and we needed like $1,000 to make it happen, you know, Katie would just get our credit card out, which it you know, realistically, that's not how it should work. But I think that, you know, some people do that kind of thing to get it over the line. There is obviously people like Indiegogo who do flexible funding campaigns, which means you get the money even if you don't get it all.
Right.
I've always been a little skeptical of those. And again, I've had conversations back and forth. I wrote an article for Filmmaker Magazine about how I don't think underfunding or overfunding should be allowed. It should be a... you know, it should be a figure that you want to raise. And if you raise it, your project, because I always felt that, like, you know, the figure that you ask for should be relatively well worked out, like going to a bank for a bank loan for a business.
Stretch goals. You see them more and more now. Do you think they're built into the thinking now before a campaign, which I understand.
Absolutely.
But it's almost like we'll secure round one. It's a bit like funding, isn't it? We get our seed round, we'll go for our A round or B round. But do you think people are, especially with manufacturing, and I know this was one of the things early on in sort of Kickstarter, that when people massively overfunded, that it actually caused more problems than it solved. I mean, can you actually turn off fund it? Can you say no more?
Well, at least when I did it, you couldn't. I don't know about now. I don't believe you can turn off overfunding. I mean, maybe you can, but nobody seems to. I've never seen a project that says, you know, we've reached our goal and bye bye. I would like to see that feature enabled for people, because I think if I did a Kickstarter, I would like to set it as a hard figure and say, I need 10 grand to make this film or whatever it is. And that's all I need, because, you know, I completely understand. When I wrote the article for Filmmaker, there was a lot of like conversation on Twitter about like, but hang on a second, if you could get more money for a project, wouldn't you take it? And I was like, well, yeah, absolutely. I understand why people do it. But I think the nature of Kickstarter is that you're saying, hey, just like you said, hey, this can't happen without your help.
Yeah.
I need this figure and I don't need any more. I just need this to make it a reality. And if you need 15, then ask for 15, don't ask for 10. And that's what I think was happening a little bit. I think people were thinking, I'll ask for 10 because I can get that over the line. And then, you know, I'll work really hard as a stretch goal to make up the shortfall.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I wrote the article, was like, because there were projects failing and then they were coming out and saying, well, actually, you know, the $10,000 we raised or whatever wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you know, isn't that the role of the producer to, you know, to budget this thing?
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I didn't think, you know, there's Kickstarter still seem to be at the fore of that kind of crowdfunding, if you like. But you do see more people kind of going down that similar approach, using their own tech as well, sort of to crowdfund projects, which is
was it Offscreen?
Yeah, Kai did it for his rebranding project.
Was that successful?
Yeah. I think he raised like over $20,000. So through pledging.
Wow.
And I think there are other people that do that. I think it's still a hugely interesting space. But yeah, I think the reason that I thought it was interesting to talk about was I'm noticing more and more established brands, or at least what I feel are established, actually seeing Kickstarter as a valid part of their strategy, if you like. Was that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's even, you know, there's even sort of business models based around this. You know, again, I know I keep harking back to the film world, but that's what I know. There are people who are replacing parts of their funding with small Kickstarter campaigns. So, excuse me, traditionally indies would raise money and then they'd get foreign sales to match it. So they'd sell to distributors to match the funding that they got in their native country. And increasing that became very hard after 2008. It became next to impossible because foreign distributors just weren't buying for obvious reasons. They didn't have the money.
Right.
And so people have sort of used Kickstarter to fill that gap, and they've gone, okay, well, we can bring, these are all micro budget figures, but like we can bring 25 or 50 grand from a Kickstarter project. Can you match it to the financier? Mm. And it shows the financier that they've got an audience.
Yes.
For their project. And it also shows them that they've worked hard enough. Because you know, realistically, everyone knows now that Kickstarter projects are not a soft touch.
Mm.
I said to Elliot when we were talking about his project, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, to run a campaign, it's not just stick it up online and leave it and let it run. So, you know, I think everyone knows that you put a lot of work in if you've managed to get $50,000 out of a Kickstarter campaign. Mm.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a very interesting space, but yeah, I shall probably continue to back wallets, bags and books. Pretty much.
And magazines.
Pretty much me. But I just wanted to end, because we are approaching, and who knows, maybe my exercise bike will be arriving anytime soon.
Why washing machines? Imminent.
I just want to talk about earphones. So, I was up at a meetup in Leeds a couple of weeks ago, and I did a talk on sort of Shopify theme building. And the last speaker was a guy called Chris who runs Woodbuds. I'm not sure if you've seen that.
Woodbuds.
Which they amazingly run in their spare time, him and a couple of other people. And he said, I'm a soap salesman by day. And I was like, what? But I think it's kind of like, you know, high-end, you know, interesting soap products.
Right,
but they set up this kind of brand. It's really nicely done, beautifully done. It is sold on Shopify. But he was saying at the time that he was really concerned that, like, you know, these new silly Apple earphones, these AirPods, are going to put him out of business. And I think it's very interesting, isn't it, when you get this new tech. I mean, his are lovely. Basically, they're wooden cased instead of the plastic buds, they're wooden, and you know the brands there, and it's all very kind of, you know,
yeah, I was looking at them,
they're very scandy, and you know, they are very nice.
Even the phone case, the wooden phone case is lovely as well.
But he was sharing his thoughts, you know, this is something I do in my my spare time, and he's got an understanding wife who lets him spend three nights a week packaging these things up and selling them and what have you. But yeah, what do you think of these earphones? I think they kind of look pretty ridiculous, and I don't think they're very practical.
The Apple earphones.
But do you think any tech now can come out and will decimate? Are we in an era where a new release, something like those wireless earbuds, are going to decimate an industry, in this case wired headphones?
No, I don't think so. I think that there was a lot of, you know, hyperbolic angst on Twitter about this, especially the removal of the 3.5 mil jack or whatever. I think that it's sort of a non-story. Personally, you know, I'm sure there'll be people who think differently. The converter comes with the phone. It's just a move by Apple, I think. We discussed this briefly, didn't we? A move by Apple, I think, to eliminate people who are using the headphone jack for other things.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I shared, I forget which Twitter account I found it on, but it was literally every device from major kind of finance people, you know, PayPal's and Shopify have their own one as well that uses that jack, and various others, you know, slots into there and then communicates with the phone so you can take payments online on the go and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a bit of a game changer there. And
I remember they did a similar thing. There was a do you remember there's a little unit for your iPod that you used to be able to buy that would broadcast on an FM radio station? Yeah. And I remember Katie and I had those at university, and it was, you know, it was amazing. We loved it in the car and all that stuff. You'd even occasionally catch other people's.
Yeah, exactly.
as you passed them in a car. But they changed that as well. You know, it was set up for a very specific. There was two, it went into that sort of long connector, the charging connector for power, and it went into the headphone jack for the audio. And I think Apple did something like they moved those different apart, or they moved the headphone jack to the top of the device or something, and it completely, you know, killed that product. Mm. So they've done it before. I don't know whether, you know, I think some of my friends who follow Apple stuff more closely would say to me, you know, everyone's just being paranoid. They're not trying to do this. They're just innovating, and it just happens to cut certain people out of the market. And I remember people saying, I'm never buying a Mac again because they've taken away the CD-ROM drive.
Yeah.
And it was a joke, you know, like people, you know, had forgotten about DVDs and CDs 2 minutes later. So I think a similar thing will happen. I think that, you know, the converter's there for people who want better quality, nicer headphones than Apple provide. Particularly people who like to wear cans or whatever, you know, I don't think, you know, necessarily that's a problem. But I just think, I don't know. I watched it unfold on Twitter, as I'm sure you did. The sort of shock and awe that Apple would remove a headphone jack. And I thought to myself, you know, this will be the same thing as all the other things Apple have removed over the years before other people.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it becomes the norm.
Fish and chip paper the next day, or whatever the phrase is. Yeah, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just disappointed there was no kind of new Mac hardware. Mac hardware seems to be very much down the pecking order of
I think we chatted about that as well, didn't we? I think that the iterative cycle of these products is going to have to change slightly, because, you know, as Apple grow into what is effectively just a consumer electronics brand, or have already done so, the breadth and depth of their product range means that iterating at the speed that they did over the last maybe 5 years is I don't think it's possible. You know, they if you look back at like Mac rumors, at how many, and I saw photographs from people inside that Apple museum,
right,
and I'm like, you know, the range of MacBooks, there's this table of MacBooks with all the, you know, with the history plotted on them, and I'm like, it's enormous, and it's only over 8 years or something.
Yeah.
I was, it, it, I was amazed by it. So I think that also I think that to a certain extent, yes, I know that the OS is getting heavier and all that stuff, but I think to a certain extent we've got to a point where a lot of us can do, you know, this is why the MacBook itself, rather than the MacBook Pro, has been popular. I think you see a lot of MacBooks around, and it's because realistically people operate in their browser, they're doing email, you know, they're doing a bit of word processing, or sound old even using that term, you know, they're doing it, they're writing on their laptops, they're doing spreadsheets, that kind of thing. Most people aren't doing the heavy lifting that of design and stuff that Macs were originally known for.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, it's interesting, like, you know, my monitor's creaking, it keeps going on and off, and you think it's 5 or 6 years old, which it's had a good run, but we're kind of used to Retina everywhere, and it's the first world problem and all, but it's just interesting. Yeah,
that is an odd thing, I think. I don't know whether they've done that because, I don't know, they don't want to cannibalize their iMac market or something. I don't know what the thinking is behind that. They've always, I would imagine, they've held back on Retina standalone displays for a reason. You know, it's obviously possible.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
So you know, well, one option, there must be some sort.
One option is to actually, you can actually, I believe, buy the iMac, the Retina 5K iMac, and plug your laptop into it. Which...
Yeah, well, the price isn't that much different.
It really isn't. It's crazy. I think, you know, the Thunderbolt displays are, you know, close to £1,000, or at least high hundreds, and you can get the 5K iMac for... I just don't want to run two systems, you know? It just seems silly, and I know you can link everything up these days, but especially when you move around so much, it seems an odd way to work. But if you do like your earphones with cables, which I just know I'd lose them, then yeah, definitely check out Woodbuds. I'm no commission here, just so you know. It's just a very nice brand and some very nice products, and interesting to see where they go. They've obviously done iPhone cases now and things like that. So yeah, check it out. But well, Kieran, it's been an absolute pleasure. This has been,
as usual,
as always, as it was last week and the week before and the week before that.
Indeed,
We've only just gone over half an hour, as promised, 52 minutes, but a joyous 52 minutes. But
we'll have to talk about something other than Kickstarter for a change.
Yes, well, next week.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, yes, if you have made it to the end here, you might be interested to know that there are some interviews I've been conducting coming out on this channel called Back
On His Own.
Well, you were busy, you know, what, putting babies in dishwashers and stuff.
That's, yeah, or something. Yeah,
you know, rolling around on your coffee bean bags. You know, getting all hoity-toity with your capsules. Got a couple of those coming out with people that, you know, friends of the show. Let's learn more about them. They're not just names on this show. They are real people.
Maybe we should do that with our friends who sign up on the club.
Well,
we should interview them and introduce them to the listeners.
We could do that. So are you going to do that, or are you going to be rolling around on your coffee beans?
To be fair, I'll probably be just, you know.
So you know, you've just delegated that, have you?
Drink coffee, Okay. Delegate it to you,
Well, anyways, I look forward to doing your work for you, Kieran.
Thanks, mate.
And I'll start the tech support clock more vigorously next time, just to make up for it.
Get your spreadsheet out.
Yeah, it's been a while, actually. I think you're down 3 coffees, but who's counting? Excellent. Well, I wish you well with your washing machine.
Thanks, mate. Enjoy your exercise bike for the kids.
Yeah. And maybe I'll... I won't post any pictures of it. That'd be ridiculous.
Oh, we should. We've got to have it as the hero.
Okay, once your washing machine's in, I'll take a picture of the kids' exercise bike, okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right, my friend. Well, I shall be farewell, and we'll speak soon.
Cheers.